Okay, hello to everybody. I'm Carlo Morossi from the Trieste Astronomical Observatory in Italy, and you can see here the name of the people I am working with. My talk is about the role of the star formation rate history in the determination of the ages of individual stars by using stellar evolutionary tracks or isochrones. And I don't have to recall you again the importance of a Bayesian approach. I just want to show you that in my case, the observational quantities which enter in the likelihood function are the affected temperature, the surface gravity, and the metallicity. And I am using surface gravity instead of absolute magnitude because I want to apply the method to stars with not known distances. Well, this likelihood function has to be multiplied by a prior function to get the posterior distribution probability function of the age. And the prior function should contain information about the mass, age, and chemical composition distribution of the stars in the Milky Way, since I am looking for ages of Milky Way stars. Well, the mass distribution can be expressed by using an initial mass function, and you can use several different formulations of the initial mass function, like Scalo, Krupa, or Chabrier. But if you are looking for ages of G, F, and K stars, I realized that the use of the different initial mass function will not introduce systematically different results in the ages. Then you can discuss about the distribution metallicity, but I think it's more safe to use a flat distribution, so you do not imply any age metallicity relation that we know is still very debated. What I want to stress in my talk is the possibility to use a distribution in age. Based on what? Based on the star formation rate history. So now the problem is, which star formation rate history should I use? And there are several options possible, starting from the simplest one, which is the use of a constant star formation rate history, which is obviously very simple, but it's also very unphysical. Or you can use analytical expression of the star formation rate histories by using exponential function with different time constants, 3, 5, 7, 9, or 11 giga-years. And finally, another option is to use star formation rate histories computed starting from chemical evolutionary model of the galaxy, like these last two, which were being computed by Spitoni and Matteucci in 2011. And the difference between these two star formation rate is the adoption or not of a threshold in the star formation rate. So now the problem is, which one of these should be used to avoid systematic errors in the ages? And I propose the following solution to this problem. Let's assume that the same star formation rate history can be used for both filled stars and open cluster stars. If this is true, we can compare ages of individual stellar cluster member with the cluster age. If the star formation rate I am using is the correct one, I will get a good agreement between the ages of the member of the cluster and the cluster age that I suppose known by looking at the color magnitude diagram. If the star formation rate is wrong, I can get a discrepancy between the age of the cluster built by looking at single stars or looking at the total color magnitude diagram. To do this, I selected the three open cluster stars, 2, 4, and 9 giga-years old. I looked in the literature for stellar atmospheric parameters of member stars, and I warn you that you may not be completely sure that the star I was using are really member of the cluster, but you can have some confidence. And another problem you may have is the quality of the atmospheric parameters I am using. But in any case, you can see the results. In this table, you see the percentage of stars in the cluster for which I get an age which is consistent with the cluster age. Changing the star formation rate history. And you see that for the second and the third cluster, the best agreement is obtained if I am using one of the two star formation rates computed by adopting a chemical evolutionary model. In the figures, you will see that not only the star formation rate you are using is important in getting a good number of objects with the proper age, but also that adopting a wrong star formation rate, you can get systematic effects. Like an example, if I am using the exponential star formation rate with a time scale of 3 giga-year, I will overestimate the age of this cluster if I simply look at the age of the stellar members. On the other hand, if I'm using the constant star formation rate, I will underestimate the age of the third cluster. So the point is that star formation rate is important, and the use of a wrong star formation rate can produce systematic errors. So, to conclude, I hope I convinced you that by using a Bayesian approach to get accurate estimate of stellar ages, you need to know the star formation rate history. And if you assume that the star formation rate history for the fielded open cluster is the same, you have a method to constrain the star formation rate history you want to use. And in conclusion, my results are that checking with the stellar cluster, with the stars in the open clusters, the best star formation rate to be used in determining individual stellar ages is neither the constant one or the exponential one, but you have to use a star formation rate history based on a galactic chemical evolutionary model. And that's all. Thank you.
So I really don't think I understand, because for a cluster where all the stars are the given age, it doesn't match any of the priors, and it seems that what's going to work best is the prior that gives the maximum number of stars at the age of the cluster, and then it's not really telling you anything about the galactic star formation history.
I agree with you, but if you think at a single star, the prior in age for that star is a Dirac function centered at the age when the star formed. Okay? What I am saying is that when you apply this method to field stars, you have to assume a distribution in age. And usually people adopt a constant distribution. But this is not a neutral choice. My idea was, can we evaluate the result of using different star formation rates? And the only way to do it is if you already know the age of the star. And you can check if your results are good or not because you are using the correct or not star formation rate history. And the only stars for which I know the ages are the stars in the open clusters. And so that was the idea at the basis of the method. I don't know if I explained it clearly enough. Okay?
A couple of points of serious caution to this. When I started doing Bayesian approaches, I also believed that a flat prior is a wise choice, but it is not. Mm-hmm. It's a frequent fallacy that is done, but simply think about the example. You have a peak metallicity distribution. You are near the rims of a peak metallicity distribution, which means that your stars that you measure at the wing of that distribution will have a systematic over or underestimate of the metallicities. If you do not correct this with your prior, which has no other task than giving a fair estimate of what the underlying distribution should be, you will have a systematic bias of all ages on the flanks of your distribution. Flat priors are wrong. It's an assumption, and you're taking an openly wrong assumption. The other thing is, you're selecting just single open clusters. There's no clue that the open cluster population in our galaxy should in any way resemble the star formation history of that galaxy, because survival functions, etc., play into that game. Second, since you're selecting single open clusters, you're just messing up this game further. So there's, in my eyes, no way that you can draw these conclusions.
Well, you are talking about the flat prior on metallicity, because I do not use a flat prior in any other things. I'm using only on metallicity. Okay? Okay. But since one of the parameter I am using in computing the likelihood is the metallicity. If the metallicity is well determined, I will not introduce any bias with the flat metallicity prior, because my observation is enough to select the proper metallicity.
Okay. Are there any more questions? If not, let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.